Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the Political Cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It is Saturday, August 1st, 2009, if you can believe it. I'm your host, James Edwards, coming to you live yet again. Another show from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee. That's our flagship, and of course, without question, as always, we are being transmitted via the internet at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com, and the great network that is Liberty News is sending us out to their affiliate stations across the country via satellite, even on the phone with the Liberty Newswire. So many ways you can listen to the Political Cesspool nowadays. And joining me to give you tonight's journey, tonight's odyssey through the murky waters of the cesspool, Bill Rowland. Bill, how are you doing tonight?
James, as always, being on the Political Cesspool is a bigger thrill than a taxi cab ride through Baghdad. So I am looking forward to this show, as always. Once again, the political left, our opponents on the other side of the political spectrum, have provided us with plenty of news, information, and topics tonight to discuss.
We have a lot on tap this evening, as we always do during our weekly broadcast. I just can't believe, Bill, not to harken back to something I said in the opening seconds, it's already August. Where did this year go? I mean, we're going to be talking about Halloween and Christmas here in a couple of weeks. It seems as though the summer just got started, and now here we are heading into autumn. It's I guess it's unbelievable every year. This year seems a little bit more unbelievable than normal.
I wish this year would hurry up and end, because it has not been a good one, generally speaking, for this country, for a lot of people in this country. We want to rush this year on through and hopefully move towards the years when we can vote some of these people out of office who are unworthy of calling themselves Americans, much less of sitting in the seats of power of American government.
Well, I guess, you know, is the glass half empty? Is the glass half full? Certainly you're right in what you say, but this year, as bad as it's been for the rest of the country and for our cause, it's been a great year for the political cesspool in terms of the more bad things there are out there, the more people we have to combat, and the more we're able to prove ourselves as true leaders in this paleo-conservative America First movement. And, of course, this has been a year, Bill, of great growth for the political cesspool. And I guess if there has to be a silver lining to something so abysmal, the fact that this show has been able to continue to reach so many people, perhaps that would be it. But a lot of some of our co-hosts who won't be able to reach people this evening are Winston Smith, Keith Alexander, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller. They are out loafing during this final segment of the summer. Winston and Keith are both on family vacations this week. They'll be both back next week. I don't know where Eddie is tonight, although I did see him driving around town. I actually passed him on the street shortly before I came out to the studio tonight. He was riding around with his wife, and I knew it was Eddie because I saw the Ron Paul for President bumper sticker on one side of his car and the 9/11 was an inside job bumper sticker on the other. So I don't know what our folks are doing tonight, Bill, while me and you are here punching the clock, putting in another 3 hours worth of work, but I hope they're enjoying themselves.
James, I'm glad to be here with you in the crow's nest, you know, watching the crows.
A lot of crows to be watched tonight. I do, before we slide into more important topics tonight, I want to quickly share with the audience a nightmare I had last night. You would think after so many shows and so many years of doing this, you'd be used to it. But I had a dream last night. You know, every now and then, Bill, you have a dream that just seems so real. It seems so real that when you wake up, you still believe it's real. I dreamed last night that I don't know what I was doing, but I was late for the show. It was 6:30. I was 30 minutes late for the show. And when I got into the studio, Mike Powers is obviously one of the top brass here at Liberty News. He was hosting the show for me because I was so late. I was like, man, Mike, thanks for hosting for me. Man, I'm here now. You know, I can slide in. And so I started to assume my duties. And everything I did was just a bad move. I didn't know who the guest was. I was mispronouncing his name. I didn't know what he was on to talk about, and then Mike had to come back and take over for me. So, and then when I woke up, and I was like, man, that was scary. But I was waking up thinking, you know, it was showtime, and it was about 3 a.m. yesterday morning. So, I don't know, Bill. That ever happened to you?
The worst part is, of course.
You're probably more of a professional to let something like that ever cross your brain, even in your sleep.
The worst part of your dream, of course, is you were wearing underwear, but it was your wife's underwear. You know, that's the way those dreams go.
Well, I thought we told them we weren't going
to
tell them that.
Take it to the limit.
I thought we agreed we wouldn't let that out of the hat. Anyway, everything except for the panties is true. I did have that dream last night, but thankfully I am on time, and so is Bill. Even though everybody else is out loafing, we are here. And we got a good show for you tonight, getting serious. Tom Baugh is going to be on the show this week. And if you haven't heard about him, you're not going to want to miss the discussion we have with him during tonight's third hour. He is the author of a new and provocative book entitled Starving the Monkeys. And as we wrote on our blog, we predict this book is going to become an underground bestseller. It's all about the growing socialism in America and how we can resist it. And of course, Tom advises us to not waste our time by going to tea parties or watching Fox News, or even by organizing get out the votes to get, quote-unquote, our candidates elected. You're just wasting your time with all that stuff, according to Baugh. He says there's no fixing what's wrong with America, and the whole rotten system has to collapse so we can start over. And that's a sentiment that's echoed by people like Sam Dixon and Ed Steele. But there are some real tangible things you can do right now, in addition to listening to this show, to enhance and protect your freedom and wealth while also flying under the system's radar. So this is what the book is about, Starving the Monkeys. We're going to be talking to the author of the book, Tom Baugh, during tonight's third hour, and he's going to let us know how we can help tear down the rotten system by starving these monkeys, stopping feeding them. So anyway, provocative title, provocative book, great man. I've talked to him a couple of times in advance of tonight's show, and I think you're going to be excited about tonight's third hour. What do you think, Bill?
This show, of course, we try to provide excitement and entertainment and amusement for all of our listeners. One of the topics we're going to be discussing is a clown. One of the clowns who currently is rising once again into prominence in the Republican Party, Ralph Reed. And, you know, if you're going to hire a clown, you might as well hire one of the most slapstick, ridiculous clowns you can have, right? I mean, and I can't think of anybody more ridiculous than Ralph Reed. So we're going to be talking about him and his reemergence in politics after most people would have thought certainly he would not have had the nerve to come back, but he's back. So we'll be talking about Ralph.
Well, we touched on that. I think you touched on that, Bill, either last week or week before last, but it's beginning to snowball, the Ralph Reed effect, in terms of his gathering of influence or regathering of influence in the Republican Party. So rightly so, Bill, very rightly stated. We will be talking about Ralph Reed and getting the truth out there, as the political cesspool always does. We're also going to be talking about how, once again, traditional morality is being likened to hate in a Washington, D.C. church. We're going to be talking about the Beer Summit. How can we forget the Great Beer Summit and what a production that was with the police officer up in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and the so-called professor, Obama and Biden. What a disgusting media stunt that was. There's a lady in Dallas with a Hispanics Keep Out sign in her yard that just won't apologize. We got much more than that, though. All that and more, plus Tom Baugh, Starving the Monkeys, coming your way in the cesspool tonight. And I do want to take one more opportunity to give you a little administrative note. The Political Cesspool broadcast archives are now once again free of charge. Liberty News Radio Network has made the decision to open up their vault of archives, which includes our shows broadcast from the end of March to the current day, and they are now available on our website and on Liberty News Radio's website free of charge, absolutely free of charge. You can access our shows around the clock, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whether they are the shows we broadcast here on our home, Liberty News Radio, or the shows we've broadcasted before we came to Liberty News Radio in March of this year on RBN and even the pre-RBN shows. All of our shows now dating back to 2005 are available on demand at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Don't forget, you can listen to our show now also on the Liberty News Radio Wire. That's a telephone number. You can call and just listen in on your phone. If you don't have a computer or an AM/FM radio handy, tune in to us via telephone. There is no reason now at all to ever miss a Political Cesspool broadcast, whether it's live or an archived version. So check out our website for more information, thepoliticalcesspool.org. So I don't know, Bill. All that being said, I think we've got all the notes relayed this week, and now we can really jump into the cesspool, so to speak, and start wading through some of these issues that have manifested themselves over the course of the last 7 days. Sit tight, everybody. Bill Rowland and I will be back with that and more than you can handle when the Political Cesspool rolls on this evening on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Guys, we'll be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right. As Bill mentioned during the previous segment, Ralph Reed is back on the radar of the Republican Party and the pseudo-conservative organizations that surround the Republican Party, like the Western Conservative Political Action Conference. Now, I'd never heard of this particular entity until I was forwarded an email today from one of our fans. And I'm going to read through this, Bill. Please forgive me, and everyone listening, please forgive me. I mean no harm from reading a press release from a organization such as this. I guess this makes me no better than Sean Hannity, except he means it, and I'm just reading it as a point of reference. But this is what it says. Protector of individual freedoms, Ralph Reed, to speak at this year's Western Conservative Political Action Conference. The Western Conservative Political Action Conference announced today that founder of Faith and Freedom Coalition, Ralph Reed, will speak to their 2009 conference to promote individual freedoms and stronger families. We're honored to have such a nationally acclaimed leader at this annual gathering of political and social leaders of our day. Ralph Reed is an established leader and has amassed an enormous amount of political influence. He served as executive director of the Christian Coalition, one of the nation's most effective public policy organizations, and has fulfilled many highly influential roles, including senior advisor to George W. Bush. Don't miss this opportunity to hear a leading conservative discuss the seriousness of the issues we face today. All right, Bill, that's what they say. What is the real story about Ralph Reed?
I've got to start this whole Ralph Reed thing with a. I've got to start it with two quotes about Ralph Reed. Okay, let's just see. I mean, this is just so amazing. Guess who said this about Ralph Reed? I used to tell people he was going to be either president of the United States or Al Capone. Who said that?
I couldn't tell you.
His mother said that about him. And here's another one. How about this? Reed is a bad version of us. No more money for him. A bad version of who? Guess who? Jack Abramoff said that about Ralph Reed. So there are two real references for you when it comes to Ralph Reed. And the truth is, of course, that the person who wrote that glowing introduction to Ralph Reed, or that glowing little press release, was certainly Ralph Reed himself. Anybody who really knew anything about him would not write those things about Ralph Reed.
All right, that being said, Bill, let's just set the record straight. First of all, why are we spending our valuable and important time on the Political Cesspool discussing Ralph Reed? And if you're like a lot of people who undoubtedly don't know who is he? Why are we talking about him?
Okay, we're talking about him for one reason. Let's remember that Ralph Reed, like so many televangelists now and in the past, dupes people into believing that he is this righteous leader, that he speaks for a large number of people, that he's got the answers, that he can lead you onto the path of righteousness and victory, when in fact, from beginning to end, his career has been the career of a loser and someone who jinxed political campaign, an advisor who gave all the wrong advice. And yet he is able to reinvent himself as some sort of savant or some sort of, pundit in politics, when in fact he has caused more defeats on the Republican side than he ever created or engineered victory. And so he is an absolute curse on any conservative organization, on any organization that is trying to become grassroots.
All right,
Ralph
so is that
the
because,
wrong way to go.
Is that because Ralph Reed is just inept in applying his tactics, or is it because he really doesn't believe in paleoconservatism, traditional conservatism at all?
He has some of the characteristics of a sociopath, and that is he is able to put on put up a false image of himself that is believable. And yet when you read about him, what you find out, for instance, when he was the chairman of the Christian Coalition back years ago, he was fired from the Christian Coalition for his strange accounting practices, unaccounted for money, different things that might have emerged into a scandal. So the appearance is that he was some great leader of a big movement, when in fact, when the end came, what happened to the money? You know, can reconsider the quote from Jack Abramoff, missing funds, or something's wrong with the money here. And once again, Ralph Reed seems to have his hands dirty with that. So I think, why is Ralph Reed involved in all this? Well, I wouldn't exclude money as a primary motive, just as money is a primary motive for so many evangelicals on television who hold their hands up over the audience and tell them they're healed of all their illnesses. It's the same with Ralph Reed. He is basically a political evangelist who doesn't believe his own message.
Well, Bill, I guess the moral of this story is, and the reason, I guess one of the reasons we want to bring it to our audience's attention tonight is it just serves as further proof that the Republican Party and the conservative organizations that leech onto the Republican Party are once again doing themselves more harm than good, doing the cause that many middle American working type people subscribe to a disservice. I mean, there are a lot of people out there inevitably, Bill, that, as we know, have misplaced their trust and loyalty to an entity that does not strive to cater to them. I mean, we're talking about your Southern whites, I hate to use the term evangelical Christians because they've done us so much harm lately, and I say that as a Christian, but you know what I'm talking about. There are a lot of good, working class people trying to raise a family. They believe the Republican Party is the conservative party to combat the evil of liberalism and Marxism, so on and so forth. And yet the people that they support with their vote are people like Ralph Reed, who are probably on a express mission to destroy these people from within. Am I wrong?
No, but the problem is, I mean, the real issue is that the Republican Party is looking for a faith healer. First, the Republican Party tried a witch doctor by appointing Michael Steele as head of the party.
So oh, good Lord. I mean, this guy, I don't even want to get off chasing a rabbit here. We've talked about Michael Steele till we're blue in the face, but I mean, he's such an embarrassment, they hardly want to even let him go on TV anymore.
Well, exactly, but the point is that they tried a witch doctor. They tried some black magic to get the party back on track. And now they're going to try a faith healer. They're going to try somebody who they think can just put his hands out over an audience and win them over the top. And, of course, what they're doing is their medicine show is going to be the faith and coalition, the family values thing. But Reed is already in. He's going to have outreach to homosexuals. And that is all part of the big Republican strategy. They may feel that they can't get what you know, and they may feel that they're not really going to engage the feminists or the anti-war crowd. So their next step is going to be outreach to homosexuals and trying to soften the message so that homosexuals vote for the Republican Party or at least donate money. So this is the direction where the Republicans are going. They're going to see the Red State Queer Party. And so this is, they cannot do anything right because they will not accept the truth. So he stares them in the face, and instead of taking the medicine that will cure them, which is to reach back to their conservative base, their white conservative base, they're going after witch doctors and to try to get the Republican Party healed and back on its feet.
And the only way that the Republican Party could possibly ever be dissuaded from this march to destruction would be if the people who support the Republican Party, once again, your blue-collar conservatives, your working-class Southerners, and overall your white people, demand by either withholding their vote or withholding their money that they don't want charlatans like Ralph Reed and Michael Steele representing them. I mean, obviously these people don't merit
don't
any of their beliefs
away.
On any,
political
on any
cesspool,
of the,
guys. We'll be
any
back
of the issue.
Right after these
we'll be
messages.
Back right after this.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta
get out of this place. All right, welcome back to the show. I understand Bill's mic has a little bit of static in it. We got to get the good old WLRM engineer in here. We got to get Bob in here to take a look at that during the next commercial break. We'll get that rectified here in a moment, folks. Just bear with us. But Bill, discussing Ralph Reed, we got so excited and animated, we ran smack dab into our commercial break, overlooking our cues and all. A final thought on Ralph Reed, and, you know, it was interesting. At the end of this press release, they close it with a quote from Ronald Reagan saying, "Freedom is always one generation from extinction." I think it's sort of ironic that they would include that because I see, in my opinion, these frauds like Ralph Reed
like Ralph
are doing
Reed
much more to hasten,
or to hasten
the extinction of the conservative cause or paleo-conservative cause, whatever you want to call it, than Obama or the even most devout Marxists, because good people actually subscribe to folks like George Bush or Ralph Reed or Lindsey Graham, and these people are doing, in my opinion, Newt Gingrich, far more damage to conservatism than the left is.
Well, certainly so, because the modern Republican so-called conservatives are demoralizing. They do not put people in office who represent the views of the grassroots base voter support of the Republican Party. And so in doing so, they kind of engineer the perfect candidate who will be both a mainstream media candidate, someone who fits into the Washington Beltway, and someone who can pay lip service to their constituency at home. And this is a failed formula. And so long as the Republican Party continues to artificial candidacies and artificial issues and ignores it, it's going to continue to decline. And that just gives the Marxists more power. They're playing right into the hands of the cultural Marxists.
Well, because, I mean, this is two wings of the same vulture, so to speak. I mean, you've got your radical left, your anti-Christian, anti-American, anti-white faction, which is Obama, and he's going to get all of the radical leftists to flock to him, and they're doing their job very obtusely. They're doing it very openly and very outspokenly, whereas on the flip side, or on the other wing of this vulture, of this buzzard, you've got people like Ralph Reed, who are basically marching towards the same end game as Obama, but they're doing it while feigning conservatism with some of their rhetoric. But in terms of their action, in terms of the fruit that they produce, is just as rotten as what you would get out of the ADL or the SPLC. And that is why conservatism has continued to decline, if not outright ceased to exist over the course of the last 50 years. All of the heroes that have been anointed by either our misled people or perhaps the media itself have been outright charlatans and frauds, like, again, I say, Ralph Reed, and we've got to do something about that. Obviously, I think there is an opening here for the rise of ethnopolitics. I guess it wouldn't be much of an ascension. Ethnopolitics is already in play with every other culture and race in the world except for our own. But perhaps there'll soon come a day where paleoconservatives or nationalists will see that they just don't have an outlet here anymore with Fox News and the Republican Party and organizations that invite people like Ralph Reed to speak, and they will begin to unite as conservatives of a certain stripe, and then at that point solutions and ideas will present themselves. I'm just saying. And certainly that's something that we think will be healthy for our people, and that's something that this radio program openly advocates for, because we shouldn't be limited. We should be able to enjoy the same ability to come together and discuss issues frankly and candidly while not hiding our candle under a bushel, while not playing the game, as Tom Sunick would say, and while not pretending that people like Ralph Reed speak for us.
Well, exactly. And, of course, Ralph Reed's, you know, Newt Gingrich pulls the string that moves Ralph Reed's mouth. And it's politicians like Newt Gingrich and Dick Cheney and that sissy Lindsey Graham who are framing the future for what they call conservatives, in which it's nothing at all like conservatives. They're playing in the same by the same rules as the cultural Marxists. And where we're headed in this country, whether it's cultural Marxism or whether it's Republican conservatism, is going to be a fascist government where you have a permissive society with a restrictive government. And that's what both sides want. Both sides want to be able to control people in such a way that they can continue to enrich themselves and to keep their early positions in office. And so, you know, this is the direction we're having, and it's going to take a major revolution in the way people think and in the way people are willing to take action that will change this. And that means not giving money to people like Ralph Reed and not putting Republicans in office just because they make campaign promises they have no intention of keeping.
Well, there you go. I mean, and that pretty much sums up the segment, I think. But people need to be aware of who their friends are and who their enemies are. And just because they say they're conservative, just because they pretend to be Christians, just because they line up on the right side of the fence, doesn't mean that they are. We've got to be able to see. We've got to have that instinct that recognizes and identifies wolves in sheep's clothing. And unfortunately, the Republican voter, the average Republican voter, does not have that. That's why you see people like Chuck Baldwin receiving 0.001% of the vote, where outright liberals like John McCain still command the votes of people who really don't agree with him on much of anything. And this is something that's got to change. It's not going to change as long as you have these well-funded organizations. And this is the thing, Bill. I mean, these are lavishly funded organizations hosting lavishly funded balls, receiving lavish amounts of contributions from people to come and sit down and eat a $10 steak that they pay $200 for to hear Ralph Reed posture. I mean, all this has got to change. We have so many assets still in this country. I absolutely believe that the vast majority of white Americans fundamentally agree with us on a lot of the issues that make up this radio program. Now, they might not say it outright, but when you're talking about amnesty, where, 90% of America, Bill, was against it a couple of years ago, there are some telltale issues out there where when the question is asked in just the right way, you'll get an honest reaction. And I think that it's perhaps not as bad as we think it is out there. It's just a matter of these folks becoming brave enough to do the right thing and support the right organizations and having the cutthroat and killer instinct to say, listen, these guys don't speak for us anymore and we're not going to entertain them anymore. I think that's what we need, Bill, as we've said before, a little less diversity and a little more intolerance. We should be intolerant of the people who are out to slit our throats and the people who are out to fool us and deceive us. And I don't know. Why do you reckon, Bill, that our enemies are able to see the things that we choose not to see? I mean, it's so obvious, as though we're the ostrich with his head in the sand, just choosing to believe that something that's right beside us doesn't exist. I don't understand why our people, as great as we are and as intelligent as we are able to be deceived like we are.
Most conservative people are conformists, and most conservative people believe in conventional wisdom as the way government runs. And they don't know that the old rules have changed and that the old ways of conducting government have changed. They don't understand that just because you flip a switch that says Republican, that you're going to get, your vote is going to matter. It doesn't matter. It only matters keeping the status quo intact. And they've got to begin to understand the status quo is the enemy of everything they believe America is all about, and particularly our Constitution. The Constitution was voided a long time ago. And the only way to enforce that Constitution and get it back up is to have people willing to reject conventional wisdom and to stop being conformists when it comes to believing about government and about how things really run.
Well, Bill, let me ask you this. We have less than a minute to our next commercial break, and we've been talking for a great deal of time here about the frauds, about the charlatans, about the people who pretend to stand up for middle America but are doing everything but that. When you're talking about organizations that are out there really producing good fruit for our movement, when I say our movement, you know, it's hard to put into words, paleoconservative, nationalist, what organizations are out there, Bill? 30 seconds. Obviously, the political cesspool, we say we won, not braggadociously so, but because our actions prove that. American Renaissance, Council of Conservative Citizens, you're really looking at probably less than 10 or 20 organizations, if that much, that are doing a good job. What, who else is out there?
Effectively, the Council of Conservative Citizens and American Renaissance are really the only two that stay on the front line. Many of the others are organizations.
Bill, we'll pick it up with that. Pick it up with that. Always a commercial break. We'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. James Edwards here with you Saturday night, August 1st, in the political cesspool. I sit here in my chair at WLRM Radio this evening. I'm looking through the glass, and I'm watching our station engineer fix Bill Rowland's microphone. Hopefully, when Bill comes back online here in just a second, he'll have a little bit clearer connection. I'm getting the signal that he's here and better now. Bill, how's that mic treating you, the new mic?
It's a little better.
You know, we spare no expense at WLRM, do we?
None whatsoever.
Well, we apologize for any inconvenience there might have been and that little bit of distortion that we were having there. But, hey, you know, we see a problem, we fix the problem. That's what this show's all about. So here we go. Anyway, Bill, we were talking, and I don't want to spend too much more time on this because we got a lot to cover before Tom Ball, author of Starving the Monkeys, joins us. Organizations out there, I was thinking during the commercial break, you know, there are truly a handful. Our show, American Renaissance, obviously the Council of Conservative Citizens, but you've got some think tanks like National Policy Institute that do a lot of good work, and they're quite friendly with our effort, and, you know, their actions speak for themselves. You've got the League of the South, if you're a good Southron as we are. There's the League of American Patriots. There's a couple of others. Go to our website on our sponsors role. There are some good organizations there. Youth for Western Civilization, a college outfit. You know, so there are some, but there are really too few in the grand scheme of things. I mean, if you can rattle off the bulk of them from the top of your head, you know there's not nearly enough. And we're talking about organizations who are standing up for the will of the majority. And you nearly know them all, Bill. It shouldn't be that way.
We should also mention Occidental Quarterly.
Well, see, I mean, you got publications. I mean, yes, obviously the Occidental Quarterly, and there are some good publications and newsletters out there, you know, surely. So there are a few, but even if you take all of the activist organizations, membership organizations, media entities, radio shows, newsletters, journals, you're looking at, I would say honestly, quite frankly, less than 20 in the whole nation that stands up for the paleoconservative ethos that, what would you say, Bill, 90 to 95% of Americans subscribed to in the 1950s?
Easily.
You know, we need more leaders. We need more leaders. And if you are a leader, go to our website, sign up for our email list, let us hear from you. If you are involved in an organization that we failed to mention, and God knows there are undoubtedly a few good ones out there that is just slipping our minds here as we do this impromptu and off the cuff, let us know about your organization. Let us link up to you. Let's network and cooperate. But, Bill, bottom line is there's got to be more people take a stand, step forward, and join us on the front lines.
Absolutely. We need believers. And the thing is that I think most people intuitively know that what we talk about on this show is both true and right. And unfortunately, too many people are still afraid and timid about what they believe instead of embracing the truth and instead of embracing what they know to be true. You know, they still want to believe that, you know, somehow everything is going to just turn out as it should. And we know from history, particularly in studying the history of the former Soviet Union, that if you wait around for good things to happen, bad things happen. And you can't, you know, doing the right thing is proactive. It's not passive. And so you do, everyone out there needs to get involved and needs to work, not talk, but work toward bringing our people back to our rightful place in this country, which is at the top. And, you know, I get tired of hearing about equality and all of these other, you know, invented terms and these invented ideas, you know, that the Marxists have absolutely taken to the bank, whereas we allow ourselves to be drained dry. You know, we're being bled dry. And, you know, who is going to pay the taxes for, you know, all the health care reform and the big government bailouts? It's not going to be the welfare class. The obese welfare class is not going to pay for this. It's going to be the white working American who is paying for this. And, you know, the government in Washington doesn't care if we expend our last drop of blood and starve our children to get to the point where all minorities have an above average standard of living. This is what they think they're going to get away with. And we have got to stop it.
Well, Bill, you bring up an excellent point. In the classic parasite-host relationship, the parasite never really has any care for the host, nor does the parasite understand that if the host dies, so does the parasite. And that's obviously what we're faced with today. But let not that deter you, ladies and gentlemen out there, and let not the media be empowered to skew your perception of how things really are. If you watch television or tune into radio, read a newspaper, you know, you're going to be inundated with an idea that perhaps doesn't match reality, but you might allow what the mainstream media is pushing to keep you from joining some of these organizations we're talking about or supporting our radio show because you believe that you are very alone in your thoughts, but you're not. I mean, take this, for instance. I'm about to read for you a story from the Washington Post, and this is a prime example of what I'm talking about traditional morality equaling hate. What we stand for on this radio program is not hate. It's hope and love for our family and a return, a reclamation of America's destiny. But the media goes out of their way to paint traditional views on race, gender, and sexuality as hate every time they get a chance. They did it first with race back in the 1950s and 60s, and they were so effective that just about all Christians today regard their own parents and grandparents as evil bigots for opposing interracial marriage. Now, 50 years ago, nearly every white Christian in America would have opposed interracial marriage and opposed anyone who favored it. Now the situation has been seemingly exactly reversed. Of course, most white Christians don't really believe the lies that they spout about interracial marriage. In reality, they still in their hearts believe, as we do, they just lie about it so they won't be called haters. But their plan isn't working out too well, as we've talked about for 2 years on countless blog entries on our website. Now that the establishment has mainstreamed interracial marriage, the media's agenda is normalizing homosexuality. That's their next agenda. That's their next to-do, their next item on the to-do list, and demonizing anyone who opposes homosexuality, like evangelical Christians. Now, here's a story, Bill, and everyone listening, from the Washington Post, hardly an obscure newspaper, about a D.C. church where gays are openly welcomed and baskets of condoms are provided for the parishioners. I read now straight from the text in the Washington Post, and I quote, "For 16 years, it has served as a sanctuary for a small community of black gays and lesbians who say they feel shunned from all directions by black men and women who give them cutting looks of disapproval, by mainstream black ministers who condemn homosexuality, and by even white gays who make them feel unwelcome in subtle ways, such as switching from hip-hop to country music in a club where too many black men hit the dance floor. At Inner Light Church, however, members say they can be themselves. In the pews on a recent Sunday, a woman adoringly placed an arm around the shoulders of her girlfriend. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not reading some pornographic smut entry. I'm reading the Washington Post newspaper. It goes on to say, a man with a linebacker's strong build sat near the front wearing mascara and condoms set in a basket near the door in case any worshipers wanted to grab some on their way out. Now, finally, Bill, and I can't read any more of that trash, but Washington, D.C.'s transvestites and perverts have found a church that accepts them and celebrates them, unlike other churches. And in case anyone was too dense to pick up on the message, the headline of that article makes it perfectly clear what the agenda is. The article is entitled, A Sanctuary from Hate. Bill, this is what passes as news, and unfortunately, people are susceptible to reading that and believing that it's normal because, after all, they're reading it in a major newspaper. They're hearing it on Fox News or CNN that this is not just okay, but in fact, normal behavior. And this, more than anything, is what the political cesspool stands in fierce defiance against. We are here to stand up for traditional American values, traditional conservative values, and if it's labeled hate by the people who hate us, then I can't help that. But, Bill, what do you make of this article? I'm getting off on a tangent here. I'm getting upset. Well, you know, bring it all into summation.
The article says more about the Washington Post than about some freakish church in Washington, D.C. Almost certainly that church is probably empty 99% of the time, and the so-called congregation showed up just for this article. But the point is that for the Washington Post, this is a real church. This is what they would see as a real church. This is what all churches should be. And this is more about the perverse attitudes in the media and the perverse viewpoint of the left than it is about some, you know, insignificant church in Washington, D.C. Now, the point is that the press and the media always embrace the subcultures and the deviant culture as part of what they want to see as normal, what they want to eventually call normal. And that's what's really going on here.
Well, Bill, with that being said, let's carry that over into the next hour. Much more to come, ladies and gentlemen, as Bill Rowland and I continue on. If you want to read that article for yourself with the link to the original Washington Post source, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. We'll be back with more, a lot more to talk about during the second hour, and then, of course, author Tom Ball during tonight's third hour. Sit tight.
Stay tuned. Hour number two of The Political Cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
Hard leap to his feet and says, something's got a hold on me. Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Baptist Church in that sleeping little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the blooms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.